starting to catch up.
What do you mean?
But you just got Tom in the corner.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so we're looking at the doctrines class on spiritual growth, lesson one. We're looking at the three types of Christians.
Last time we talked about spiritual desires,
spiritual exercises, and spiritual connection to Christ and an attraction
are some of the features that define
Those people who are truly born again.
Look
at John 8:31.
And so let's look at John 8:31 and 32. Let's start there.
Angela.
Angela, would you read John 8, 31 and 32?
You have it, Angela?
Pastor, it's John 8.
John 8, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31 and 32.
I only show 21 and
in the Gospel of John.
Oh, I got it. Got it.
Okay.
Wait. For some reason, in the Gospel of John.
Chapter 8.
Yeah, I was in chapter 8, and it only showed going up to verses 20 and 21.
Is it? Let me see.
Jesus, therefore, saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth.
Yeah, I got it.
And the truth shall make you free.
You see that, Angela?
Yeah, I got it. For some reason, the search function on my Bible was not at it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the attributes of being a believer is continuing. It says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And so what he's saying in that passage is that the secret to being a believer, if there is such a thing, is that you will have an interest in continuing in his word. You'll have an interest in the things of God and the spiritual things of God. And then it says, if you do that, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
So we're looking at the spiritual attributes of a true disciple.
Excuse me, just one second. I don't know if somebody's looking to get on or not. I want to just see.
Can I ask a question? Can anybody else hear all this feedback?
Yeah, I do.
Because it's really hard to understand.
Yeah, you know why?
Because we have a computer on in here.
And because we have feedback now?
Do you hear the feedback now?
Yeah.
It's because we have your computer on top.
Someone still has it leaking through on theirs.
There's an echo. Okay.
Hello.
We'll try it.
Okay. Everybody put your computer on mute.
So you can hear, but you can't talk. Just put it on mute. Now let me see. You can all hear me, right? Thumbs up. You can hear me?
Way better.
Okay. This will work better if we do it this way, correct? Okay. So you guys are all muted, and if you can see my face. So if I point to you, do you see me pointing at you, Diane? So I'll point to the one I want to talk. Can you see the name?
You can't tell that.
Say our names.
Can you hear, Pastor?
Oh, okay. I'll tell him. I'll ask, and then unmute yourself so you can answer the question. Okay. All right. Here we go. So we see that, and now let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:12. Andrew, 1 Corinthians 2:12. You got it? You got to unmute your computer.
Can you hear me, Pastor?
All right. 1 Corinthians 10:12.
2:12.
1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
And then read verse 16b, as in boy.
But we have the mind of Christ.
Okay, those verses, first 11 is telling us that we, where was it? 12, rather, is telling us that we've not received the spirit of the world. We had the spirit of the world, and we could not hear Christ before. But once we become born again, once we are truly born-again Christians, now it says in verse 12 that that we have but the spirit which is of God. We have God's spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So let me ask you something. What does that mean? What does it mean to you when he says that we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God? What does that mean, the spirit which is of God that you have received? Angela, what does it mean?
We received the Holy Spirit.
The what?
The Holy Spirit.
Yes, exactly right. And so that's why I keep telling you that there that if a person is truly saved, they have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enables them to do the spiritual things they have to do. That's why Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27 says, it says that I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And the way that happens is now you have a new heart through the regeneration, and you're being led by the Spirit. Because he says in Romans if you're led by the Spirit, you're in a carnal state. But if you're, by the flesh, you're in a carnal state. But if you're led by the Spirit, as we should be led by the Spirit, then what ends up happening is it's actually proof to us. Because, you know, I really believe God knows how weak our faith really is, and how we really suffer from fears and all the other anxieties that come with being a human being. And much of the things that he tells us to do is not so much for him, although he's glorified by it, but what it's for is for us. It's to let us know exactly who we belong to. And that's very important. I mean, people have to understand that, you know, if you belong to the family of God, then that's a very special elect group. And there's a certain way that you'll behave. And he has instilled in the regeneration process attributes, giving you attributes to you, installed is a better word, that will allow you to do the things that you have to do to be a member of that family. That's why if people aren't saved, it's as apparent as the coronavirus. It's just there, and you know it, because they can't do the things that God would have them do. Very important distinction, because we're talking now about the types of Christians, and we're talking about what a real born-again Christian is, and we use that. That's why he says examine yourself in a couple of places in Scripture, because we need to always remember who we belong to, because it's so easy to drift away. You know, there was a reason why God compared us to sheep. You know, sheep are not very bright animals, and they tend to wander, and they have a lot of bad traits. And the shepherd has to always be there watching them. Well, although we're called sheep, we're given something that sheep don't have. We're given the ability to change our lives in such a way as to honor and glorify God, and at the same time have a better quality of life. So that's what we're looking at here as what the distinctions of is of being a truly genuine born-again Christian. Because I got to tell you something. There's got to be a billion, maybe a billion and a half people who can call themselves Christians, but in the real world, those people, I mean, in the spiritual realm, those people do not have the power to believe the Bible and to live their life by the Bible. And since they can't do that, that's how you know that you're not them, that you are indeed called. Tom? All right. Okay. Okay. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. I just read that. Then let's go to chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And Diane, 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 17. You got to unmute yourself. Unmute.
Okay.
There you go.
But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him.
No. No, it is. Where am I? 6:17, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm in 7, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And what is, and what is, what's another, oh, we had a question, Doreen.
But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Could that be?
Could my NASB be?
No.
No. Well, no. I don't think that's what it means. And what's another verse in the Bible that talks about the oneness of the saints with Jesus? What's another one? It's a parable. What is it? Somebody raise your hand. John?
I'm not sure.
You know
sure.
Which one it
have...
is?
No.
Okay. Somebody help somebody help our brother out.
18:4.
Andrew? The one, a parable that shows our bond with Christ is singular.
The vine and the branch?
Exactly. The parable of the vine. In other words, he says, I am the vine and you are the branch, and without me you can do nothing. You are intimately connected to Christ, and your intimate connection to Christ is seen throughout Scripture. And he says in another place that, I think it's in John 17, he says, the Father and I are one, and you and I are one, so we'll all be one in one. So we are not only one with Christ, we're one with God the Father. Why is it important for us to really remember that and to understand it? What's the key thought of why we should always remember that we are one with Christ? Any of you would be fine. So anyone want to take a, June, you want to take a stab at it?
So we have a personal relationship with him?
Yep, that's one of the reasons. So we have a personal relationship with him.
And we can pray to him.
Right. Yep, that's all true, yep.
So we forget we're not in this all, in this world alone, all by ourselves, right?
That's true. That's true, but there's another reason. Yes, Andrew.
In Revelation chapter 12, it talks about a war going on between God and Satan. And right now, if we're aware that we're in one with God, we can fight that war with greater ease and without so much fret.
And I would add to that with greater power.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you come, if you ever notice that in the scriptures, like look at David when he came against Goliath, right? What did he tell him? He said that God will give me the victory this day. He told Goliath that he was coming to him by God. And you'll find other accounts of where the prophets said to the people that thus saith the Lord. And that is a proclamation that God is speaking through them to the people. And there's no difference between them and you. That's why some I would say less than biblical churches
have prophets because they take the scriptures and they try to make themselves into something they're not. You are a prophet in a sense being. You're not giving new information. You're just giving out information that was already given to you through the Bible. So in a sense, you're not prophesizing, but you are a messenger. And as a disciple of Christ, you are giving that message out. And so it's important that you remember that you have this power because you are one with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit actually indwells you. There's another main reason, though, something I'm trying to get at. Anybody got any idea? Anybody?
You were bought at Christ.
By knowing that you're one with God, it should give you a better sense of holiness. And if you're not being holy, you should be holy because he said, because I am holy, you be holy. I'm misquoting that, but you get the idea, right? So we have to understand that our relationship with God is so intimate that we are like one. We are joined together with the whole Godhead, not just Christ. And in being joined together with the Godhead, we are called to be holy. We are called to be righteous. As a matter of fact, we see in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be the right. So there's such a relationship the saint has with God that it's like a single union. You're like one on one. You're all one. No human relationship, by the way, shares that. You don't have a human relationship that shares the oneness with each other as you do with God. And the reason you don't is because all relationships all human relationships are really based on conditional things. Your relationship with God is unconditional. It's been paid for by the blood of Christ. It's irrevocable, and you can never be unsaved if you're truly saved. So you have to understand that relationship with God is so. You can't even, if I wanted to say, Lord, I quit. I don't want to be a member of your house anymore. I don't want to go to heaven. I don't care if I'm in a black pit of hell or lake of fire. I don't care. I don't want to be a member. If I ever did that, it wouldn't matter. It really wouldn't matter because if I'm truly saved, I'm going to heaven. And I might go up there really whiplashed, but I'm going up there. You might have had to drag me through the rest of my life here, but I'm going up there. And if I continue in sin, if I'm a sinner and I say, I don't care, I'm going to do this, what is he going to do? He's going to take me to the woodhouse, something that's irrevocable. It's irresistible. He's irresistible, and his commands are irrevocable. And those are key thoughts you have to remember because it's who you're connected to. That's who you're connected to, somebody that irrevocably made a promise to you, and his calling is irresistible. I told somebody this week. I talked to a lot of people because it's awful funny when you start bringing death close to people. What ends up happening is they get very nervous because they know that there's something going to happen and they're not really sure what it is, or they have these imaginations of what it is, even if they don't believe that there's a heaven or a hell, they still have this great fear. It's a wonderful time to talk to people. And when you do that, we have somebody. I want to see who's, just 1 second. Somebody's in a waiting room. One person is waiting. Galaxy A10E. Oh, it's a phone. Should we take a shot at it?
Sure.
Here we go. We have Arthur here just in case. Okay. Okay, so.
Ronald.
Ronald.
Hey, Ron.
Okay, let's not have a homecoming again. All right. So So does everybody understand that that's vital? That's it. It's all throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It says it very clearly that truly born again, genuine Christians, those who have submitted their life in obedience to Him. And by the way, you can't submit your life and you can't obey God if you're not saved. You can try it. You can. And by the way, if any of our new people that have joined us, if you have if you don't mute your computer, you can still hear me. But if you don't mute it, we get echoes. And since you can hear me, I'll call your name out. You can unmute it to answer a question or something. So we have to understand that who we belong to. We have to understand all the particulars that go into it. Because if we don't, what ends up happening is we tend to wander. I'm not saying you're going to get unsaved. I'm simply saying that we tend to wander, and whenever you wander away from the center of His will. The farther you go from the center of His will, then the less blessings you have, the less connection you have. And if you wander too far, if you wander out of Wi-Fi range, okay, let's put it that way. If you wander out of Wi-Fi range, He's going to bring you back with a jolt. Let's put it that way. That's how I would see that. All right. In letter B, it says, just as the natural infant clings instinctively to its mother, so the spiritual babe turns to the one, that's Jesus, who gave it being. The conscience of the converted soul now feels the authority of God, and the holiness of God is now seen by an enlightened mind. And we looked at that passage in 1 Corinthians 2:16. The enlightened mind. We have the mind of Christ. And having the mind of Christ simply means this, that the Bible is no longer just a book of a paper and ink. It's in thoughts. It is a spiritual living thing. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I dare say there isn't anything on this earth that's ever changed life, and that includes children, that's ever changed life more than the Bible. And the reason for that, and the reason I can say that with surety, is because the Bible is an everlasting information. There's the information contained in it is eternal, and it has to do with death. It doesn't just have to do with life. So everything in this world has a limited bearing, but the Bible has an eternal bearing on souls, and nothing, absolutely nothing, is more important or will change a person's life more than coming to know Christ as their Savior, both now and in the eternal realm. I had a hand back there, June.
It's the living word.
The living word is called. Yeah, exactly. Any questions? Okay. And God's wonder, number one, and God's wondrous grace is faintly understood by the renewed heart. When you first get renewed, it's faintly understood. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Arthur, 2 Corinthians 1:22. Go to 21 too, Arthur. 21 and 22.
Now, He who established us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our own heart's guarantee. Sealed sounds kind of
let me read the King James. It says, now He which, in verse 21, it says, now He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. And then referring to God, who hath also sealed us and given us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You're sealed. If you're a born-again Christian, you're sealed. And if you're sealed by God, what that simply means is that you can't be unsealed. The only one that can unseal you is Him, and He can't do that Himself because He has irrevocably sealed you. God bless you. So you understand, you have to understand that is a sign. Now, what that means is this. They're in a saint's life when they're going to backslide. there's times, there may be times when they're gonna walk away from the center of the of God's will. That all may happen. But what we have to understand is, if you're truly sealed and you're truly born again, you're coming back. You're either coming back of your own accord, or He's gonna pull you back because of the irrevocability of his command to call you, and the irresistibility of His command. It can't be changed. Neither one can be changed. He can't even change them. Everybody get that? That's an important distinction. We have to always remember who we belong to. I mean, you hear people say that all the time. When, you know, when you go out, parents tell kids that, you know, you come from a good family. So when you go out there, you be sure you let them know that you come from a good family. Let them see the way you live your life. Parents have been telling kids that for centuries. In the same realm, you come from the best family in the universe, okay? And you're to act and behave as if you are a member of that family, and hold yourself out that way. And one of the things that you are also called to do in this family is to have a lot of time together. Fellowship is a very big deal to God, both with Him and amongst each other. All right, let's look at the next one. 1 Peter 2:5. 1 Peter 2:5. June, 1 Peter 2:5.
You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
You are living stones, a spiritual house, and God lives inside of you. That's why the church doesn't matter, the building doesn't matter. You are the church. And we have to understand that as the church, and in another place he says in chapter 2, look it up at verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness, and I would put in there death, into His marvelous light. God brought you back from the dead. And He paid a price for that. And that's why it's irrevocable. The price has been paid. The sins have been forgiven. That's it. So people who think, well, you can lose your salvation, then you should ask them, does that mean that God, who paid for all your sins, is going to get back a little bit of the blood that was shed for it, and all your sins are going to go back on you? Is that what that means? It doesn't mean that at all. You can't. A true born-again Christian can't be unsaved. And lastly, 1 John 2:20. That's just down the street here. 1 John 2:20. Sheila. 1 John 2:20. Are you there, Sheila?
Oh.
Okay. Hey, Ron, you there?
No.
Oh,
that's
Shana. Okay. Oh, Shana. Who's Galaxy A10E?
Ron.
Is that you, Ron? All right. Amen. How about Angela? Go ahead and read, Angela. Go ahead and read 1 John 2:20.
But ye have an anointment that Holy One. But ye have an anointment from that Holy One, and know all things. 1 John.
Right. 2:20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And he's not saying that you're a know-it-all. He's simply saying that because you have the Holy Spirit, when you come to the Bible, you will know things that you could have never known before. How many times have you read the Bible, and you'll go back, maybe you've read it for 5 years or 3 times, and I never really got that. And that's how... You know, there's just so much here that we couldn't possibly absorb it. So He gives it to us, He feeds it to us, but we have to be here. It's sort of like you can't if you don't go sit at the table and have your supper, then you're not going to be nourished. You're not going to eat that night. And the same thing applies with the Bible spiritually. It's the same appetite. You have to be nourished. And the only way you're going to do that is to open the book up and be nourished. And if you are, then what ends up happening is you're not spiritually malnutrition. You're strong when things tempt you, or when you're drawn away, you come back because you know where you belong. You go back to the basics of your faith, and in having that faith, you get through everything. And I mean everything. And that includes this rotten virus that's going worldwide. I have to say this, speak a little more maybe after, but I have to tell you something. One of the greatest things about this virus, in my view, yes, a lot of people die, but I got to tell you, if you want to see people die, go to Google and type in the world death rate. I mean, people are dying so fast, the numbers, you almost can't see them. They're going so quick. So it isn't about the death. What it is for Christians, it's how we live our faith. We get to test it. We have the whole world to test it on today. You can go somewhere, you can wear a mask, wash your hands, do all the things you want to do, but know that no matter what happens, it's in God's hand, not yours, not in the virus hands. It's not in the doctor's hands. It's all in God's hands, period. However many years, we need to understand that we can exercise during this time. We need not fret. All we need to do is exercise our faith and just know that everything that happens in your life and in my life is all part of a plan. And if you do that, what ends up happening is there's no stress. I mean, I go into stores and I see people, they're bandaged up. All you see is their eyebrows. I mean, I can't believe it. And then if you go up one aisle that's marked the wrong way, there's like 14 people ready to knock you down and drag you back to the other aisle. It's like people are just very, very frightened right now. I mean, they're reporting everybody for anything. I mean, it's terrible. The fear of death is so terrible. But brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are born again, you've already died. This body is just going to go into the ground, and so it's going to go back where it came from. But the best part of you is your spirit in your soul. And what the Bible is telling us is that God has adopted your spirit and your soul, and you're going to take that and be with Him, the Godhead, for all eternity. And that's really just in the eternity. But even now, I have great peace with my life. I don't wear a mask. I wash my hands. I use the hand sanitizers. I don't care, but I care. Anybody understand that? That's a very good message to read, listen to. I care, but I don't care. What time do we have? Okay, well, then we'll close it here. I'll get everybody a handout, and remember, we're going to stop at number one for next time. And this will be page 5 for you, number 1. When you get it, just look down. It's after the conscience of the converted soul now feels the authority of God. Then after that is number 1, and that's where we'll pick up next time. Maybe next time we can be together. That would be my hope. And so I'm going to ask Andrew if you would close us in prayer, brother. Are you unmuted?
Yeah, thank you. Father, we come before you, and we are in a unique time right now that's come upon us rather quickly, Lord, but so can death. And to the same point that Pastor was making, that we are already dead as we join you in this day, in a resurrected Sunday, that we can join you in heaven as we can live as saints here first, to glorify you here first, and then later live within your glory in the later days that will come for eternity. So we ask for that blessing to live out our faith that way, to be free of fear, and to really rejoice and bring hope to the lost that are in this world right now and do not have that same hope. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take a short break, and then I'm going to be giving the message, and God bless you all.
Do we need to come off this and go back on at 10?